Engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the book of the prophet Joel. Even now, says the Lord, return to me with your whole heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts, not your garments, and return to the Lord your God. For gracious and merciful is he, slow to anger, rich in kindness, and relenting in punishment. Perhaps he will again relent and leave behind him a blessing, offerings and libations for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, proclaim a fast, call an assembly, gather the people, notify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom quit his room and the bride her chamber. Between the porch and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare, O Lord, your people, and make not your heritage a reproach with the nations ruling over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord was stirred to concern for his land and took pity on his people. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. For I acknowledge my offense, and my sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned. What is evil in your sight I have done. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. A clean heart create for me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Give me back the joy of your salvation, and a willing spirit sustain in me. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, we are ambassadors for Christ, as if God were appealing through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who did not know sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Working together, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I heard you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is a very acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Praise and honor to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Praise and honor to you, Lord Jesus Christ. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Praise and honor to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not appear to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father, who sees what is hidden, will repay you. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And so today we begin this holy and joyful season of repentance, because it's always joyful to turn away from evil. It's always joyful to turn away and reject falsehood and sin and that which leads to death. And we do it today with the blessing and imposition of the ashes. Ashes that remind us that we came from dust, that God is the one who gives us life, that we belong totally to Him, that we are accountable completely to Him. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. We acknowledge today our mortality. Today is the day of honesty. It's a day when we can be honest and face the full truth of who we are, of the fact that we are mortal, that our life on earth comes to an end, that we return to dust, and a day when we acknowledge the reason for that. God did not make death. He does not rejoice in the destruction of the living. He created all things that they might have life. Death came into the world because of sin. Precisely because we turned away from God, the source of all life. And in that turning from Him, we end up with the penalty of death. Receiving the ashes on this day is a reminder of that, an acknowledgement that we who share the penalty share the cause for the penalty, which is sin. We are proclaiming ourselves as sinners. You know, one day I was helping distribute ashes on Ash Wednesday in St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York, and I was using the prayer that is one of the options for the priest to say when he puts the ashes on someone, turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel. So this one particular person comes up and I say the prayer, turn away from sin, be faithful to the gospel, and the person says, oh, that's a new one. I don't have any sins. Sadly, some people think they have no sin. Scripture says if we say we have no sin, we make Him a liar, because He died for our sins. We are all sinners. And today is a day for honesty. We can admit that not just to ourselves. We proclaim it openly. And actually, at every Mass, we proclaim it openly in the penitential rite. And that's why we did not have the penitential rite today at the beginning of the Mass. We're going to have to have it right after the homily when we bless the ashes. We proclaim publicly that we are sinners. Why do we do that? Why is it something that we proclaim publicly? Well, first of all, because it affects everybody. Sin doesn't only harm our individual relationship with God. Sin harms and destroys our relationships with one another and with all creation, not to mention also with ourselves. As Paul says to the Romans, I'm divided I know what's good. I want to do what's good. I end up doing what's evil. I don't understand my own behavior. Well, that's because sin confuses us. It divides us from our very selves. Sin is communal as well as personal. It always involves the personal responsibility. But you know, when the sins of many people who are living life together accumulate and crystallize sometimes into public policies, like policies allowing abortion and other kinds of sins, well, we have a public, very public dimension of sin. Sin harms others. And so it's the community today that repents. That reading from Joel, that stirring call. Gather the congregation, gather the people, assemble the elders, gather the children, call an assembly, proclaim a fast. We come together as a community recognizing that we must all repent of sin. And that we must raise a firewall. You know, you think of, for example, by the ocean, you know, with the various barriers that are set up against the mighty waves or a firewall when there's a fire. I remember one day I was visiting with my parents, and the house right next to us caught fire. And I remember early that morning speaking with the fire men who were there to put that fire out, and they said, oh, don't worry, your house is okay. He says, but if it were to get too close, we would set up a firewall. You wouldn't even know what was happening. A firewall. And then, of course, we can think of that in terms of electronics and computers, the firewall security that we need to have for computers that are connected to the internet. A firewall against sin today is what we must set up as a community. We must come together and say, this is like a tidal wave of sin that has washed over us as a human family, and we must together repent. As we said in our baptism, and this Lenten season will prepare us. It is for the purpose of preparing us to celebrate the great Paschal mystery, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, with minds and hearts renewed. And when we do that at Easter, we will renew the vows of our baptism. When we say, yes, I reject sin. Yes, I reject Satan, the father of lies and the prince of darkness. Yes, I reject all his evil works and empty promises. I renounce and reject Satan and evil and sin. Brothers and sisters, today is the day that we do that. We do it personally. We do it publicly. And the ashes also are imposed in the sign of a cross. And that's because we do it confident that there is a solution. It's not just that we're turning away from sin. It's that we know where to go when we run away from it. We go to the cross. We have a Savior. We acknowledge the one who is the only refuge from our sins, Christ Jesus, who died on the cross to destroy the power of sin and death. And that is a cross that we glory in. That is a cross that we announce to others. It is not only that we repent of sin as a community, but as a community we proclaim the one who conquered sin. We proclaim Christ. We point the world to Him. We run to Him. We take refuge in Him. We rejoice in Him. We find in Him salvation and life eternal. And so we fast. You know, fasting, recommended strongly, commanded really by our Lord, is saying no to something for ourselves. And when we fast, it's not that we're saying no to something that's evil. Food is good. And yet we fast from certain foods as a way of strengthening our yes to God and our no to ourselves. Because when it comes time to reject something that is evil, any kind of sin that tempts us and lures us by making itself look so good, we've got to have that inner strength of self-restraint, as we said in the opening prayer. We have to have that inner strength to be able to say no to something that's pleasurable to us, that we may think or feel that we need that might look good. That's it. The essence of temptation is that it's a lie that makes something evil look good. So if we have the strength to say no, even to what is good, we have a greater strength to resist what is evil. That's the purpose of fasting, one of the purposes of it. Strengthening that, our spiritual muscles, if you will, freeing ourselves from our dependence on things that attract us and increasing our ability to say no to ourselves and yes to God. But the fasting not only is a strengthening for us to say no to physical pleasures, in our repentance, and you know, repentance that is our call here at the beginning of this Lenten season. In the original Greek of the New Testament is metanoia, a change of mind. We have to reject not only alluring pleasures of this world that might lead us to sin, we have to reject ideas that are false. We must renounce and turn away from thinking that is wrong and that is bad. Thinking, concepts, ideologies that would make sinful things into something acceptable. Ideologies like pro-choice. We must absolutely renounce the thinking behind things like the abortion industry. The very idea that sometimes it would be okay to kill a child. But as individuals, as a community, as a nation, we must utterly renounce that evil. That's why it's a good idea during Lent to increase our involvement in the pro-life movement. We talk about more prayer during Lent, more fasting, and more almsgiving, doing good for others. Our almsgiving is not just let's put some money in the poor box. That's a good thing to do. But if it's a good thing to help a person have a meal, how much more is it a good thing to help a person save their life? And that's what we're doing for these babies every day in the pro-life movement. That's why during the season of Lent, we have the 40 Days for Life, for example, a project by which people go and pray in front of the abortion facilities. I helped to get that started here in the United States and around the world. And that's an effort that I knew from the beginning would succeed because the pro-life movement had already been doing it, and people were more and more becoming aware of the value and the importance of going to the places of despair. Notice they are places of despair and death, these abortion clinics, because people don't go there because of freedom of choice to exercise some kind of constitutional right to health care. They go there out of despair to get their child killed because they feel so isolated and so desperate that they don't think there's anything else they can do. We go to these places of despair throughout this Lenten season, in greater numbers than ever, to bring the hope of the one whose cross overcomes death, which came about by sin. So deeply intertwined with the meaning of Lent, to stand up for life, to be involved and active in stopping abortion. This is what we must do. Proclaim a fast. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Call an assembly. Gather the people. Notify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom quit his chamber and the bride between the porch and the altar. Let the priests say, spare, O Lord, your people, and deliver us not to the guilt of our sins. We start this Lent with a confident declaration that God is merciful. We run to Him because we know of His mercy. He does not get tired of forgiving us. We get tired of asking for His forgiveness. Let us ask it again today, more fervently than ever, and more determined than ever, to renounce the evil of sin. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.